Benvenuti tifosi napoletani to the Far From Vesuvius podcast. I am, as always, Rafa Rispo, and I'm here to present another edition of the Raf and Raf Rant. Allow me to apologize for just a moment, as we have not posted any of the rants from our last post, being Matteo Bonetti's appearance on our show on February 17th. I've had a bit of an issue with my microphone, and that is fixed, and now we're back. I just didn't want to post anything that was really hard to listen to or not, you know, good enough quality for you guys to listen to, because, you know, we want to put out only the best, and we can't really have I can't really hear Rafa. It's very grainy. It sounds like he's tinny. And, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we gave you guys the best product that we possibly could. So if you wanted to go back, you can go to our YouTube page, The Raf and Raf Rant, or you can follow us on Facebook at The Raf and Raf Rant. For those shows that we haven't been able to put out, we had a couple of really good guests, like Sereno from Napoli Club Toronto, like Gianni Delicoli from the Calcio Guys. You know, we've come out with some decent, content that we couldn't put on the airwaves here, but now we're back, and today we have a very special guest in Joe Fischetti. And Joe is the creator of the Forza Napoli Calcio podcast. He also does the Napoli Worldwide series on that podcast, which is great because he has other listeners and followers of him, and friends, come on and actually talk about the previous match day and kind of analyze, give their sort of, you know, reaction to the matches, but not before they explain to Joe how they became a Napoli fan. So it's really cool because whether you're, just like me, someone who's born into it, or someone who decided to follow because a mate did, or because they watched them on TV one day and were just wowed by them. Whatever the case may be, Joe and the guest have a great chat about the reason they're a Napoli fan, and it's awesome. I can't recommend it enough. You got to listen to it. So it's Forza Napoli Calcio Podcast. You can find Joe at Forza Napoli Pod. That's the show. And forgive me, but his Twitter handle is not in front of me at the moment. You can find his Twitter handle personally when you find that show on Twitter. But it has been a little while since we've been able to put anything out in the audio podcast because of my issues with my mic. So let me just kind of quickly round up what's been going on since then. So the last time we made a post was when Bonetti was on, and that was after the win against Juventus. Since then, we've been knocked out of the Europa League by Granada. We lost to Atalanta 4-2 away. But then our fortunes kind of changed a bit. You know, we got Mertens back. We got some of our other injured players back, like Demme, Hussai, Koulibaly, and we were able to kind of gain some ground. We have in our last five matches in all competitions, including the second leg of the, you know, Europa League tie, we are 4 wins and 1 draw. So that's a 2-1 win over Granada, a 2-0 win over Benevento, 3-3 against Sassuolo, 3-1 versus Bologna, and 1-0 yesterday against Milan, which is what we will talk about with Joe, along with looking ahead to the Roma match. Don't look now, guys, but Napoli, because of their recent form, have found themselves in 5th place, 2 points outside of Atalanta, who are in 4th. We have 50 points, they have 52, Juventus with 55, Milan with 56, and Inter at the top of the table with 65. That was bottom to top, mind you. But yeah, the match that we were supposed to play with Juventus that was coming up this Wednesday, the 17th, was postponed again to April 7th. We're going to talk about that as well. And we're going to talk about Roma, who, for some reason, think that they have a chance to get our match rescheduled just because they're sour about us getting our match rescheduled. So it's a fun chat. We'll talk about it. But basically, that's what's been going on with Napoli. You know, inside of that, Insigne got fired up about, you know, dropping the late lead to Sassuolo after getting it in the 90th minute. We've had Osimhen return with you know, some goals and some really good play. Insigne with a few good plays, a few good goals, you know, and, you know, everything seemed lost in unrecoverable after that Atalanta loss 4-2. But since then, like I said, our fortunes have turned around a bit, and it's looking pretty good so far. So, if it is Tuesday, and you're listening to this, Tuesday, March 16th, and it's before 8:30 p.m., you can find me. I will be a guest on the Serie A Sit Down podcast with Frank Ravello and Richard Carmen. That you can find live on their YouTube page. Go to find them, follow them, and follow us too at the Raff and Raff Rant. But if you can't make it live, you can always watch it later on YouTube, or you can listen to it anywhere you can download a podcast at Serie A Sit Down. So I'm going to stop talking, and I'm going to have you guys enjoy our show. It's the Raff and Raff Rant, hosted by myself, Raff Arispo, Raff Bizzaro, with our special guest, Joe Fischietti. All right, you guys, ciao for now. Forza Napoli, sempre.
And good evening, fellas and bellas all over the world. Welcome to the Raff and Raff Rant. My name is Raff Bizzaro. I'm joined by my co-host, the Vicar of Vesuvius, Raff Arispo, and the famous Joe Fischietti in the house from Forza Napoli Pod. Welcome, Joe. How are you doing today?
Awesome, guys. Thanks for having me. I don't know about famous, but it's actually a world pleasure.
Famous, world famous in the Napoli world. No, you pretty are. Famous, you are, sir. Man.
Doing a great job.
I appreciate you guys having me on. I love the show, so it's going to be fun.
Thank you so much for being here, Joe. But we do have a nice show lined up today, guys. Napoli coming off a win against Milan. Huge this weekend, man. We have certainly disrupted that Classifica in Serie A. So we'll go over that real quick. We'll talk about some of the upcoming games. We named the show the Two-Headed Dragon. It was originally supposed to be the Three-Headed Dragon, but that game got switched up. The Napoli-Juve game. Got switched up this week from the league, so we're going to talk a little bit about that and a little about these next upcoming challenges that Napoli face. So, starting off with this weekend, Joe, tradition here, the new guy always goes first. So, one word to describe maybe your feelings about this game this weekend, and then talk to us a little bit about it.
Oof, it's hard to pick one word. If I had to pick one, I'd maybe say excited.
Excited. Okay, hey, that's a word.
Big game, right? It was, right. You know, every game is a must-win at this point. But, you know, you look at, well, first and foremost, we got the 3 points, which is all that matters. However you go about doing it, just so happens that this time around, we played a pretty solid game, I would say. Mm-hmm. I was nervous. I think we all were before, definitely. During, and then finally relieved after. You know, you look at the calendar and Lazio and Atalanta played on Friday. They both won. Then you look at the matches that were scheduled for this weekend. Inter-Torino, Juve-Cagliari, Roma-Parma. And you're thinking, okay, those guys are all going to get their wins. Fortunately, Parma did us a huge favor and took those 3 points away from Roma. But even then, you're still thinking, okay, this could either be a huge opportunity to gain some ground, or it can be a disaster. Fortunately, the guys really showed up. I thought everybody contributed. You know, we defended well. There were some nervous moments at the beginning with Maximovic, but he settled down. Koulibaly helped him out. Yeah, I think we'll probably talk about those guys a little bit. Sure. I've been most impressed with our midfield in the last couple of games. That combination of Fabian and Zielinski and Deme. Yeah, it's really been clicking. I thought the second half felt a little bit like the second half of the Juve game. Obviously, in this game, we were more positive. We created more chances, but just that. And I'm more thinking of like the positive side of things in terms of how we defended. It felt like a team effort. Everybody was doing their thing. Osimhen was back there defending in the final minutes.
Yes,
right?
Yes, we saw that. He had that clearance at like the last few
minutes. Exactly. So, you know, everyone was doing their parts. it was a stressful match. I rarely feel drained after a win. Usually when we lose, I'm like, I'm done for the day. I have no energy left.
And when I win, I
usually feel pretty energized. But this one was pretty draining because of all of that stress. And I think you got to give Milan credit as well. You know, they obviously they're playing on short rest. They've got a ton of injuries.
Right.
Even some of the guys that were playing, like Calhanoglu and Calabria, Ante Rebic, they're all just coming back from injury. And, you know, I still expected it to be a tight match despite all of those things. If you watched Milan play against Hellas Verona, if you watched them play against Manchester United in the Europa League, they played those games without all of those guys, even without a couple more, and they still got very good results. So I wasn't surprised it was going to be a tight match. But, you know, in the end, we got the 3 points. Good team effort. So happy to move on to the next one.
Michael Lisi here. I'm here for my beating, Michael Lisi says. That's funny. He's a Milan fan, but a friend of the show as well. But it's all right. We're going to take it easy on you guys, Michael. I promise that. Now, speaking of defense, Joe, you know, the name that popped up yesterday, he was also my beast of the match, was Hisao. And his performance, he didn't have an assist, but he did have a pass to assist, or the hockey assist, as we call it sometimes here.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me a little bit of what you thought about his performance yesterday? Because he, you know, he's a guy that maybe it's like back and forth, a little up and down. Sometimes he gets crap from a lot of people. But do you feel maybe this is like, how did you feel about his performance overall? Like,
I was happy with it, obviously. I mean, I think everyone was. Another player that we maybe felt nervous about heading into this game when we learned that he was going to start, I mean,
was Maxi.
Take your pick between Hisai and Mario Rui. They both make you nervous, right?
Obviously, okay, all right.
With Goulam being out. But he showed up. He put in a solid effort. I really liked the chemistry with Insigne on that left side. I thought we played really well on the left side. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the play he made on the goal. You're right. He intercepted the pass. I think a quick give and go with Insigne before he passed to Zielinski leads to the goal. And he was fighting, right? Like there were plays where he was muscling guys off the ball.
Right.
There's this debate amongst Napoli fans about whether a guy like Hisai or Maximovic are going to give 100% knowing that they're probably walking away from the club in the summer. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see any of that from him yesterday. I saw a guy that wanted to win this game. And then, you know, we've talked about how Gattuso likes him for his flexibility.
Okay.
And when Gattuso made his changes, he then moved Hisai over to the right side.
Right.
So he gives you that. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but I'm sure you saw the play, but I don't know if you thought had the same reaction I did. But when it was around the 85th minute, Ante Rebic tried to go around him on the wing towards the byline. And I just had flashbacks of the Sassuolo game with Manolas defending, I think it was Hrazlin that ended up winning the penalty on that play. Uh-huh. And it was Hisai that was marking Rebic, and he did a good job. He shielded, he blocked the cross, went out for a corner kick, and all I was thinking was no foul. Like we do not want to give Milan a penalty kick.
Solid
performance. I think that's I tend to agree. Probably the beast of the game between him and probably Koulibaly.
Right. All right. Great. So we did a good choice. Cool. Rafa, it was awesome.
Dude, I mean, you know how I feel. We spoke yesterday, but I've been sort of a Hisai like cheerleader over the past few months. You know, I don't think he's been as bad as he was after the 2018 season, you know, where he went on the decline. I think yesterday really proved that he still does have a lot in the tank. You know, whether he sticks around or not remains to be seen, but you know, it's nice to know that he can pull out performances like this, you know, while we have the fact, you know, the injury to Goulam and now that Di Lorenzo is suspended for the game against Roma, we have, you know, Hisai either on the, you know, I mean, naturally he'd have to go over to the right so that Mario Rui can play on the left. But I mean, for me, it really reminded me of the time when Goulam and Insigne would link up on the left when we were winning with Sarri and you know, in the 2017-18 season. And And it was like, you know, where has this guy been this whole time? You know, and can we see more of this, especially now that we don't have to worry about the Europa League and now we don't have to worry about, you know, anything else getting in our way, you know, of top four. So I was very happy with Usai yesterday. I think everybody was. I saw it on Twitter. Everybody was just like just googly eyed over him yesterday. And it just is funny to me that that they are, you know. But Joe, I want to ask you a question about what you thought about Insigne's performance. I think Insigne really just like, you know, he didn't get a goal, he didn't get an assist, but I really feel like, and it came to me yesterday talking in the post match, that he's more than stepped up to me as a captain of this club, especially in the last year. You know, you had Gigi Donnarumma at the end of the game say what he said about us and, you know, had to be held back. But it's like Insigne is the one holding him back. And, you know, even though they're friends and he's comfortable with him, and I know that, just the image of him being this short to, you know, to Donnarumma being this tall and him just like, you know, stai calma, you know,
right.
Relax, get off my team's back, you know?
Yeah.
For me, just is a very telling tale of this season. And when a lot of Napoli fans and reactionists, I should say, saw the chips down, Insigne is the guy that really kind of stepped it up, you know, and proved me wrong too. I never didn't like Insigne, don't get me wrong, but he proved me wrong as far as being a solid captain. What do you think about him overall this season? And what do you think about him yesterday, especially? I think yesterday he just pulled off he didn't stop, you know?
Yeah, for sure, Rafa. I think you hit the nail on the head. And I had the same reservations, I guess you could say, about Insigne being the captain. He's had his moments, you know, the red card against Inter, though, you know, now everyone gets suspended for you know, using the Lord's name in vain or whatever. But I've had my doubts, especially I'm always nervous about a forward being the team captain because they have enough pressure on them to score goals. He had that little drought after he missed the penalty in the Supercopa against Juventus, so I've had my doubts, but I agree. He's stepped up big time. He's always led on the field by example. That was never a question. And I think that's one thing Gattuso probably doesn't get enough credit for. The way he has these players working, especially the wingers tracking back and helping to defend. He made a play yesterday where Napoli were counterattacking. I think we cleared a corner kick out. Zielinski had the ball. He had Insigne wide open on the wing, and he played the ball straight to the Milan defender. I can't remember which defender it was. And a lot of forwards in that situation would have thrown their arms in the air, maybe started walking back. But instead, Insigne reacted as if he was the player that gave the ball away. He races back. Kessie goes to play the ball back to Dalot or Calabria, whoever it was. And Insigne intercepts it and wins the ball back. And I thought that was like a perfect example of the effort that this guy's playing with. And he's wearing the captain's armband. His teammates see him doing that. And, you know, I think that motivates other players to play well. And then Rafa mentioned the way he reacted with Donnarumma after the game. He also did it during the game when, who was it? Teo Hernandez committed that brutal tackle on Osimhen on the sidelines. And Insigne was the first player in Teo's face. Again, still a huge height difference, but he was right up there, you know, giving him a piece of his mind. He and then Koulibaly came running in. So there's your two captains getting in the face of the opponent that just took out their young star, right? So I agree. I think he's grown. And another thing that impressed me as well was that normally when he misses shots, now he didn't have any real sort of clear-cut opportunities, and maybe it would have been different if he had one and missed, but he didn't let that get to him. And that's always been my big concern with Insigne, sort of the mentality if he misses a big chance, how that affects his play. But I thought he was fantastic yesterday. And again, just like with Osimhen, who I'm sure we'll talk about, it's good to see that guys are contributing even if they're not scoring.
Definitely. You know, I think that with as far as Insigne and Inter, I remember that was a certainly a bit of frustration because he had lashed out to the ref. Something was in his head. Whatever it was, there was pressure. I know there was that's when the injury thing started with Napoli. So he definitely lashed out, and it was certainly a liability for the team because, you know, we had needed him, and then he was out the next game. But this time against Donnarumma, like Rafa said, he was certainly he was being the captain. You know, he was like con calma. Obviously, they know each other well. They play together on the national team. I'm sure they crack jokes with each other all the time. Well, but then we
both,
saw
they're both Napolitan. They have a lot of respect for each other, and they like each other. So I'm sure it's easier for him to be like, oh, you know, che sta facendo, why you? You know what I mean? But at the same time, like you said, you know, Joe said it was against Theo Hernandez. It was against other teams. It was against his own team. He's really just kind of put it together. And was like, mm-hmm. That's how you captain a team. That's how you captain a squad, Ralph, you know?
Yeah. You know, I want to read this one. Rob Napoli, he wrote this. I wanted to put it, because I didn't know this, so I want to put it out there. I don't normally give ADL credit, I'm assuming, but I've read in several articles that ADL gave the squad a very uplifting pep talk before the match yesterday. Kudos to ADL. Joe, do you know anything about this? Or Rafa?
No. I don't know too much about what happened and what was said, but it is a contrast to what we've seen, isn't it? I feel like ADL's presence in the dressing room or even at the stadium is a bit intimidating for the guy sometimes, you know. And
certainly,
not saying that they don't win with him there. I'm just saying that sometimes the things he says can put them down instead of like. I don't see ADL being such an overpowering, uplifting guy. Like, I see him being there for the people that might need him, but that's very good. You know, if that's the case, then that's really cool. I don't know if you have any insight to that, but
I didn't read anything about it. I know he's been staying at the team hotel before matches with the players and the staff, and it's sort of along the same vein to show his support for the club. To me, the one thing De Laurentiis has done that I think has been very effective is the silencio stampa, where, I mean, it sucks from a media standpoint that we don't get sort of post-match conferences and that sort of thing. But at the same time, there was so much negativity. Every single post-match conference was about mm-hmm. Gattuso getting fired, right. Gattuso quitting, when are you going to... And I think, like it or not, and whether they're professionals or not, I think that did affect the players and the
team, yeah,
right. So right. You know, that's a De Laurentiis thing that I think has had a positive impact.
Well, we all know that the relationship between ADL and the media is a little rocky at times, to say the least. Yeah. But I don't blame them this time because it's true. And we said this on the show. I was like, you know, I can't read these articles anymore. It's everything is about firing Gattuso, who's getting sold, who's leaving. I mean, we weren't that's all we had to our disposal.
They read the news. They see the stories. It's not like they don't. They don't pretend it's not there because they're the players, you know. It's mm-hmm. there. They see it. Of course they see it. But at the same time, they have to figure out how to tune that out because it's all 95% of it is BS anyway. Especially now, I mean, there was no chance Gattuso was being fired at all.
Yeah, so, it was ridiculous.
So it's mind games. It's mind games that are just like, you know, whether they're intentional or not. That you know, I feel like Joe said, the ADL calling the silencio stampa was a huge thing for us. We haven't spoken to the media as far as Serie A goes in almost a month, and we're five matches unbeaten. You know?
When was the last time you heard about a rumor of Gattuso getting fired?
Exactly.
Yeah. I haven't.
Right.
We haven't talked about it here. As a matter of fact, in a few minutes, we're going to talk about quite the contrary, in my opinion.
No, Mateo, I want to get into this one too. Mateo writes to us. Apparently, he called them before the game and told them that they have what it takes to win the game and be the team they can be. I almost shed a little tear right there, you know. But if he did, But if he did, I think that's great because, you know, again, a lot of people, even on some of the Italian social media that I've been following, I mean, they are just ripping into the team. I feel like here in America, we're like, hey, everything's okay. And everybody in Italy is like, burn it down.
No, here in America, everything's okay. Are you kidding? Did you miss? did you miss the last 2-3 months? Are you insane, Ralph?
Well, all right, like a 50-50, maybe. I don't know. I only watched the show.
We got bombarded by Twitter and Facebook.
No, but now, I'm talking about yesterday. I read Fire got Tuzo things. I'm like,
even yesterday.
He won yesterday. And I had to respond. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, in Italian. Che dici? You know, like, oh, man. So it's just like, chill out.
Well, okay. So, you know, we beat Milan. Roma lose to Parma, which I can't believe. I don't know if you guys really watch Parma at all. I've been trying to watch every Parma match every week.
Prosciutto di Parma, maybe.
This poor team get a 2-0 lead almost every week, and they blow it, either tie or lose or what have you. Last week it was 3, you know.
this is funny.
Joe Bianco came up and said, I'll say this, Ralph. Joe Bianco came up and said, our WhatsApp chat, which I'm in, is still mostly Team Fire Gattuso, which Joe and I have to, like, and Ken have to calm these people down. It's crazy. It's to the point where I've stopped writing in there as much as I have.
Yeah, but all right, I'm catching it now. So yeah, I got to be careful with my words. No, I deserve it. I deserve it. I'm fine. Guilty. But I'm just saying, yesterday I read this, and I that made no sense to me. I was like, did I miss something? Did we lose against Milan? Am I still sleeping? And then I don't know what was going on.
It's unbelievable. But anyway, back to my point. So yeah, Parma lose to Roma. Parma beat Roma. Now we've overtaken Roma, excuse me. We've overtaken Roma. Atalanta win, Juve win, Milan lose. We are now heading into Roma on Sunday with a very good chance of winning that game as well. I know we have still some injuries that we're dealing with. Day off today and tomorrow, I believe. I think Wednesday we go back to training. Mm-hmm. Same thing happened last week. We have the rest in between now that Juve is canceled and moved to the 7th. We'll touch on that again. 2-headed dragon, not the 3-headed dragon.
Not the 3-headed dragon.
On
the fly corrections.
looking ahead to the Roma match, what do you think our chances are against Roma? I mean, I know they have a great team, but they can't beat any of the big clubs. They can't really... you know, they have the trip to the Ukraine on Thursday. So 3-day turnaround, they have to play against us. I really think that we have a great chance to beat them. What do you say though, Joe? What do you think, man, realistically? Because you're the guy that can talk some sense into people. You know? What do you think?
No, absolutely. I think we have as much a chance of winning this match as we did winning the Milan match, and we did that. I don't think it's gonna be necessarily as easy as we might think it would be. We have to remember Roma won 3-0 in their first leg against Shakhtar, so they may be able to get away with resting a few players for that match. I don't think they have as many injuries as Milan did. I think Mkhitaryan, Vertu, and Chris Smalling are sort of the key guys that'll be out for that match. So definitely Mkhitaryan and Vertu are big losses. I mean, Roma's back line has been pretty decimated. But, you know, we can't go into this match thinking it's a win, and I don't think Gattuso will. What I keep bringing up to kind of ground myself and hopefully some Napoli fans out there is we were supposed to beat Sassuolo when they were missing their front three attackers, Berardi, Caputo, Juricic. Yes. We were supposed to beat Alkmaar when their whole damn team had COVID, and we didn't win those matches. So we have to keep that in the back of our mind. We can't go into any match thinking it's a guaranteed win.
Nope.
But this is a huge match. You mentioned the table, Rafa, that I think Roma is now only, are we tied with them on points? And I think we're 2 points back of Atalanta, if I'm not mistaken.
We are 2 points back. Yeah, why don't you throw
them up? I'm going to throw them up just so I have the top 10 right now. Let me
put Ralph it up has here. The ticker. So he'll throw that. There you go.
It's right here. 65 with Inter, 56 Milan, Juve 55 with the game in hand, Atalanta 52, and then Napoli also 50.
Yeah, so we're tied with them on points. Obviously, a win. I guess the we're ahead of them in the table, both because we beat them and have a better goal differential. But we need to win this match, and then we have that game in hand, obviously, against Juve is a huge one. It's very winnable. It's not going to be easy. I think Paulo Fonseca is actually a very good coach, and I just hope we're not valuing Roma's record against top clubs. Obviously, that's been their Achilles heel this season. And they normally always beat the lower table teams. Now they just lost to a lower table team. So who knows? They could probably beat a top table team. Hopefully it's not us. You know, it'll be interesting. Hopefully we're well prepared. I think we can walk away with a win, though, for sure.
That would be 6 points out of six in this two-headed dragon week, this hell week. That we kind of wanted to get from the three matches. Like if you asked me, and we were to get 6 points out of nine, had Juve been, you know, played on Wednesday, then mission complete. You know, I mean, 6 out of 9 would be great, even though a loss would people would roll over and die over it. But
I want to read. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, Rafa, go ahead.
Do you want to finish? Oh, my bad.
No, go ahead.
No, Fiat Vesuvio, right, because totally agree here. 3-1 Napoli, according to the Fiat Vesuvio podcast and our boys from Canada there. Gattuso in the first leg versus Roma had a masterclass of a game, and I don't think Gattuso will let an opportunity to make top four slip that easy. It was certainly a masterclass. That game was – I believe that was the game right that after was a 4-0. Maradona. After yes. Maradona passed, and yes. Insigne had that just beautiful the set piece kick. So their motivation was there. Let's not forget that. That was you have to factor that into the equation. But they need to. I think they need to bring that same energy, that same spirit. They are playing away this time, so they will need it. And Roma's Matt. When are we going to talk about the letter? I've been holding this in for like 2 days because.
Before we do.
Okay, go on. Before we do. Let me know.
We have to address this.
Okay, please.
Now, Juventus-Napoli would have been this Wednesday, right? Mm-hmm. Do people out there realize that had Napoli played this match this Wednesday, had the match still been scheduled, and had we beaten Juventus this Wednesday, we would be 3 points out of second place behind Milan. So if we had beaten Juventus this Wednesday and then Roma at the weekend and had Milan lost to, I believe they play, they have some sort of tough opposition, but I don't remember exactly who it was.
Wait, which team?
Fiorentina.
Who, Milan?
Who can be tough. We would be tied for second place. And I think Milan would end up getting the tie break, but still we'd be tied for second with Milan. Like, but we want to talk Gattuso out, right? Like, perfect. where does Joe, I need to find this out from you before we can continue on to the fact that the match was canceled and that's not going to happen. And, but if Napoli were to be finished this week in second place, where would you put Gattuso's chances of staying next season? Where would you put his deserving to stay?
I'm so torn on this, to be honest. I mean, on the one hand, I think Serie A is going to be just as competitive next season as it is this season. I think, you know, we've gone a whole season without fans and all that revenue that's associated with it. Most of our European clubs are getting knocked out of European competition, so not that much additional revenue from European competition. We'll see how Atalanta, Roma, and Milan do. But I think it's going to be another sort of pinch the penny type of season for a lot of these clubs, meaning they're not going to spend a lot on players. And to me, that means we're going to have another competitive year. Yeah, maybe we'll be still playing only once a week as opposed to twice a week. But for that reason, it makes me not want to change too much, because when you look at least some of the coaches that we're talking about bringing in, I'm talking about the even Juric, the Zerbi, Italiano, those are guys that you need to build a project around. And that takes a couple of years, like with Sarri. So, you know, is that the time that you want to bring in a new coach when this could be another shot at potentially winning the Scudetto? And I know we haven't won one in 30 years, so that seems like a long shot. But if it's just as competitive this season, and we had a lot of poor results this season with a lot of injuries and everything else, COVID, is that the time you want to change your coach? On the other hand, I wonder if just the damage has been done already. And, you know, we talked about De Laurentiis and his pep talk in the change room and this and that. But I feel like he caused a lot of this tension with Gattuso. And I don't know who was it that didn't want to sign the contract, whether it was Gattuso or De Laurentiis, the extension that is. But what I had issue with at the time was that De Laurentiis could have nipped those rumors in the butt right as soon as they came out. But he kind of let them simmer for a week or so before we finally got like an official statement on our club website, you know, giving him their support or whatever. So I just wonder if too much damage has been done to that relationship that we just have to move on from Gattuso, even if we do finish in second at this point.
Mm-hmm. I think the final thing from ADL was that if he were to make it to the top four, there was some type of stipulation. I think we talked about this with Matteo Bonetti was here. If Gattuso can finish in the top four, the contract is his to sign. That was the last thing I heard. And, you know, considering they went to this media silence thing, the latest in the news was all about Sadi. He's 70% there. He called him. You know, he asked for a new Fiat. I have a question here and I want to address, guys. I know we had said that we would probably wait to the end, but since we're on the topic, because Jonathan just joined us a little late. You're late, Jonathan. Don't let it happen again, okay? Just kidding. Have you heard the rumors of Sadi coming back? The commentator said it Sunday during the game. It's been the new hot topic, but again, I don't believe any of these things until the market starts. You know, until the pen hits the paper, I don't believe any of it. Because if we all know ADL real well, and he is not the type to go back to his exes. It's never happened. I don't think so. And I don't see it happening now.
Well, what did you just read to me before we came on the air, Ralph? What did you read that Lavezzi had said?
That's right. There's an article that Lavezzi wanted to come back, and then ADL didn't want him or something like that. That was the article I read on Arianopoli.it. But which kind of validates the point, no? I mean, I don't think ADL is that type of guy, you know? He's never done it. I just don't see it now. I think the whole Sadi thing, I feel as if like the media is finding the trending topics, right? I said this before. It's not that people want Sadi per se. I think it's more they want that Napoli. They want that type of football. They want to see Napoli be a little bit better on the field, something that they felt that wasn't happening under Gattuso. And I wasn't sure it was a billion of it. Here we go. No, we're not going to get into this again, I promise. But I think it's important to understand that I think the fans were looking for better Gaucho on the field. And Sadi was the name that popped up. It's almost as if we correlate those two things. A beautiful soccer, Sadi. That's what we want to see. So Sadi. When we were having troubles with strikers or buying a striker, when Malik was injured, or when we had after we sold Higuain, what was the topic of conversation always? Cavani. We need Cavani. So I'm starting to see these patterns among fans that when something is going wrong, right, their brain to kind of like help with that pressure and that stress goes back to a good time just to make them happy again. And those two times for them probably were, one, the 3 years under Sadi. We did finish second, third, and second respectively, so I can see why people favor him. And Cavani, who was possibly one of the best strikers we had since Maradona, arguably. So I think that's why we see this, and I think the media, the news, especially nowadays, with how reporting news journalism is, they need the click. It sounds crazy. Yeah. It sounds conspiracy like, but they need that click. And a Napoli Don or a fan of Napoli is going to click on Sadi's returning immediately because it's they're tugging onto their, you know, onto these paranoias that they have. So that's just my take on Sadi in the news and him returning and the whole now he's 70%. I mean, what the who came up with that number? It's like, so he's 70% back. What does that mean?
It's so annoying.
Stop it.
I mean, if you guys want to get a head start on transfer rumors, here's how you do it. You take a look at where positions need to be filled. So coach, left back, maybe attacking midfielder.
Sure.
Then you look at all the players whose contracts are coming up in those positions, and there's all your transfer rumors for the whole summer. Because every single one of them will be linked to your club at some point.
It's the Premier League way. That's right. The Premier League way.
How long have they been trying to buy Koulibaly? You know what I mean? How many times offers? They're still trying.
Yeah.
So it's
listen, I mentioned it before and I'll mention it again, okay? The only time De Laurentiis ever went back to the past was when he brought in Calaiol for that half a season, and that didn't really turn out well, did it?
Right.
We're not getting Jorginho. We're not getting Sarri. Lavezzi never wanted to come back. As much as I want it, Cavani's not coming back. These are things that are not happening. We're not getting Benitez back in a managerial role, maybe in a DS role, even though he poo-pooed that too. So never mind. You know what I'm saying? Just not going to happen. We don't take steps back to go forward. You know what I mean? We take steps forward to go forward, you know? The only reason why I think that like the Sadi rumor is so heavy is because he's available. That's it. He's available.
It's clickbait, dude. It's complete.
It's clickbait. Let's not forget that did not end well. The relationship did not end well with De Laurentiis. It didn't end well. So, basta. Move on. Let's go to the next topic. Pazza Roma. Never mind Pazza Inter. Pazza Roma. This letter that Ralphie mentions.
Oh my god.
First of all, Joe Fischetti, I saw, I think it was your tweet, mentioning, your thread, mentioning that Roma's, so let's start from the beginning. Roma had decided that they want to challenge the league in changing the match scheduled this Sunday, the 21st, because they have to play against Shakhtar on Thursday. Citing Napoli are favoring the league, or the league is favoring Napoli because the Juve match was postponed again to the 7th. Roma. in their defense, that's a brand new ownership. And they have no idea what's going on, I think.
Are they Americans? I mean? That's right. They're Americans. American, yeah. No wonder they wrote a letter to the man.
Exactly. So you had you had Palotta. Now you have the Friedkins, right? So what they're saying is that we didn't provide the adequate amount of time to change it. Like, you're supposed to do a 15-day. You're supposed to do it 15 days before, right? Am I right, Joe? You're supposed to put in a request for a match change 15 days before the match, and the match was changed less than 15 days. What Roma don't understand is that match had already been changed. So it's like it's already an up-in-the-air situation, even though it was confirmed by the league, right? This match has been scheduled at Roma since the beginning of the season, before the beginning of the season. And if they had looked ahead and said, oh, wait a minute, we have to play in the Europa League that week, then maybe they could have had some sort of a case. But at the same time, what kind of case do they have? They don't have a case, in my opinion, at all. And here they are crying about how the league favors Napoli. Roma, are you brand new? You have to be brand new. This league does not favor Napoli.
Seriously. Thank you.
Point. And here's where I'm going to put the stamp on it. Ready? Napoli please. Already asked the league to change the 17th because of this hell week, right? Because we didn't ask to change the Roma game or the Milan game. We asked to change the Juve game. And I think that's ADL looking after his club. That's ADL looking after his club. And whether we got it or not, whatever. Okay, at least we tried, which was the case. We didn't get it. And we were like, okay. The freaking Societas tweeted themselves, oh, we're going to play on the 17th because we lost the appeal. Okay, fine. Couldn't hurt to try. That's ADL looking after his team. Because we could have been like, oh, you know what? Let's change the other games. No, the actual scheduled matches are going on, right? We just didn't want the league to drop that game in the middle of these, right. These two, right? So where the hell does Roma get off to come in and say, oh, well, that's not fair. They got to change their game. Napoli got to change their game. Oh, Roma. Juventus asked to change the game after we were denied, and it happened right away.
Thank you.
So who's shown favoritism, Roma? Friedkins, if you're listening and if you're watching, we are not favored by the league. Juventus are, just so you know. Welcome to Serie A.
Yo, welcome to Italy, America. Jesus
unbelievable.
Christ. Get it right.
Unbelievable. Because this is proof. This is proof. Here's my rant of the day. This is proof that...
Joe, you're next.
If Juventus FC said to the league, yes, let's postpone October 4th, it would have been done like this. It would have been done like this. Napoli want it done. We got to go through this. We got to go through that. 3-0 loss, 1-point deduction. League says no. FIGC says no. Freaking thank God for Coney, because then we'd have to go to actual civil court. Are you out of your mind? Roma, are you out of your freaking mind? Wake up. Wake up. We're not favored by the league. So you don't get any favors either. Go to the Ukraine. Go play. Come back. And you got to play us. You got to play us. End rant.
Joe. End rant. Exit stage left. Joe, do you wanna pop in? Because I've been waiting for two. Go ahead.
I've got a couple things to say. Husband, yes. I got things to say about Roma. I got things to say about Juventus, and I got things to say about Serie A. So let's start with the letter. If I'm not mistaken, the Friedkins are lawyers, and they tried to get all lawyery on this and look up the regulations. And
American lawyers! God damn it! Made it worse.
So the first thing they cited was this 15-day thing. You got to get 15 days written notice. As Rafa mentioned, the official date that the Juve-Napoli game was rescheduled for the 17th was March 3rd, which means it was impossible to give 15 days notice to reschedule that match. 15 days would be the 18th, the day after the game. Right. So that's bullshit. The second thing is that you have to have sporting reasons, which they're claiming that there were not sporting reasons. I don't know how you prove whether there are valid sporting reasons or whether short rest counts or not. So that's one thing they're held up on. And I think Roma knew that that wasn't going to change. So then they said, well, since you're not going to make Juve-Napoli play on the 17th, then you have to move the Roma-Napoli game, which is, again, purely for selfish reasons. I guess I don't blame them for asking, because I didn't blame De Laurentiis for asking either. But it's a little bit hypocritical there. Then you have Juventus, who, when before their Champions League game against Porto, they were back to their, oh, we'll just follow the rules. We just follow the rules. If the league says the game's on the 17th, then it's on the 17th. And I think part of that is because they were so convinced they were going to advance to the next round of the Champions League that would technically be the only available date at that point. And obviously they didn't. And, you know, I got into it a little bit with a couple of quote-unquote Juve journalists on Twitter, and how they were, oh, De Laurentiis is crying again. Just play the match. And then after Juve got knocked out, and now it benefits Juve to reschedule the match because they also don't want to play on short rest, and they have some of their injuries as well. all of a sudden, for Juventini's opinion changed, and they're all saying, oh, it makes the most sense for both clubs. It's the best thing for both clubs. Yeah. So that was pretty convenient that now that they're knocked out of the Champions League, it's okay to reschedule it. When before, no, they wanted Napoli to have a tough game against Milan ahead of their game, or our game against Juve. And then my issue with Serie A is that, once again, this clown league allows this situation to happen. The point that I was making at the time, when De Laurentiis initially asked for the match to be looked at, actually, he didn't even ask for it to be rescheduled. All he asked for was that the league wait until the second leg against Porto before they confirm the date of the match. And the reason for that was because if they waited and if Juve got knocked out like they did, a whole bunch of other dates would open up and they could have just picked one at that point. Now, I get that was cutting it a little bit close. There was maybe, I don't know, a week, 10 days. But why couldn't they say, if they had said, okay, we're going to tentatively schedule this date for the 17th because that could be the only date that's available. And if Juve lose, then we'll consider other dates. I don't think Roma have any case to make whatsoever. But no, they were, and a part of me thinks this was the league's way of getting revenge on Napoli for appealing the original date, because Serie A did not want to change that date. And in fact, they never agreed to it. It was, like Rafa said, CONI, the third tier of the appeals process, that ultimately changed that. So I felt like Serie A was kind of licking their lips a little bit, Lega Serie A, and saying, okay, you guys want to postpone this match? No problem. We're going to put it right in between Milan and Roma. Enjoy your rescheduled match. And so to me, this was, again, Serie A caught with mud on their face. And to Rafa's point, when Juve ask, all of a sudden, boom, it gets changed. But yeah, I have a problem with all three of them.
In no time. It could change in no time. Roma like to say that Napoli are favored by the league. Did you see the foul that Ronaldo?
Wait. No. Hold on. Wait.
Go ahead.
I've been patiently waiting.
Go ahead.
You guys touched most of it, if not all of it, but I want to reinforce it because, hey, why not? Favor my ass. Let's not forget, we had to go all the way to CONI to get this appeal. And then we were still waiting for the investigation from the league about the protocol that we waited, till January then? So sometime the first 2 weeks of January about the protocol. I mean, ASL, a governing body of Italy, stopped this team. Okay, and we had to go all the way to CONI, or like you said, the third tier appeal, all the way there to get us off the hook. All the abuse, all the articles, all those other people who were on your other shows talking down to Napoli, saying that, making up all these conspiracy theories when there was a clear issue in the South with this pandemic. We went through all of that, and these guys want to cry favoritism, and you write a letter? You write a letter? Man, come on, Roma. Stupid. Go on. Thank you. Have a nice night, guys.
Did you see Ronaldo's foul on Cranio this week? Did you see that?
Yeah.
And I think he was yellow carded, but how is that a yellow card? He came out, studs out, dangerous play, actually made contact with his face and head. Give me a break. Give me a break, yellow card. That's a red all day. But, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo wants to make a statement after being knocked out of the Champions League. So, okay, let's leave him on. Favored. Okay, Roma, we're favored. Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing I don't get about that whole thing is, for some reason, a high boot to the chest or above is a yellow card. But when someone gets a high boot to, like, a shin, it's a straight red card. I think Sandro Tonali got a red card for that earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. I can't remember which game it was, but it's so bizarre that the higher you go, it's like less severe somehow. And I don't think intent really matters.
No, it maybe, doesn't matter. Right? It doesn't matter.
Exactly. So yeah, he's going for the ball, but you can't.
He drew blood. He drew blood. He kicked him in the face. He you know, the keeper was well within his rights to go for the move he was going for. He went out, he came out with his two fists out. He was trying to get the ball. But then Ronaldo gets a penalty when Cranio comes out and takes his legs out, which, I mean, it was a penalty, but still, he gets that though. You know what I mean? So I don't want to hear about favoritism anymore. It's over. Done. Yeah. Done.
Shut up, Roma.
We escaped this week with not having to play Juve in the middle of it. We got to play them again.
Stupid Americans.
Roma. Oh my gosh.
Stupid Americans.
Ufficiale. Roma confirmed the 3-0 al Tavellino. Roma were still fighting that 3-0, and today it was lost. So, yeah, let's talk about lawyering up. The Friedkins are a lawyer group, right? Mm-hmm. They're still trying to get – they are trying to gain any kind of advantage they can, even though I think Roma is playing really well. Aside from the loss, I think Roma is doing well. You know, they can't beat the big teams, but when you can't beat the big teams but do beat the smaller teams – and are fighting for fourth place, that's not bad. Plus, you're in a great position to qualify for the quarterfinals of the Europa League. They're not doing bad. So I don't know what all this crap is from Roma. I don't understand.
Yeah, why are they scared?
I'm gonna have to ask my client, a huge Roma fan. Yeah. I'm gonna have to ask him what the hell is going on with his team because
they scared, bro. They scared.
Vittoriano, if you're watching or listening, ma che fai? Che fai to Roma? Che fai? Come in. Let's talk about it. His son is a Napoli fan, by the way. His son came in with the special Maradona jersey. It was
put
the
his son on.
I've ever seen. Yeah, his son watches us.
But to your point, Rafa, you're right. They're playing well. And the other thing I think we might have forgotten because it feels like it was so long ago, but they didn't really spend any money last summer because they had no money to spend, right? I mean,
no.
Before the Friedkin purchase, they added a couple of guys. I think Pedro, who's been mostly injured, but they're doing this on pretty low budget, so you know, yeah, they need to focus on that, focus on the pitch and less on the lawyering.
Mm-hmm. Well,
guys, agreed. So moving on, Roma. So what are we going to expect for this Juve game, guys? I mean, what do you think? I mean, granted, what are we doing? I think it was Crotone before.
We have to play Crotone. So we go on break after the Roma match. Right. And then we get Crotone on the 3rd.
And then Juve on the 7th.
And then Juve on the 7th. Yes.
So I don't know. Maybe it's a little
Sampdoria
too soon.
Sampdoria on the 11th.
To speak that. Can we predict maybe how that Roma-Napoli game might look, guys? Before I know we're about rounding to the hour mark. Maybe we'll do a quick pre-game kind of prediction with Roma, maybe take a couple questions and then we can cut out, I guess. But
Joe, how do you see Napoli fielding against Roma? What do you think? Because obviously, you know, no Di Lorenzo, so we're gonna have to
We did have a question earlier, Joe. Maybe you can address that Di Lorenzo obviously now is out because of the suspension. Who gets to start there? It was I'm not sure who asked it, but we're answering it now.
Yeah, well, I think the obvious choice is you put El Cisai at right back and Mario Rui at left back because we don't really have anyone left. I don't think we're in a position to go with a three-man back line with Manolas and Rachmani. I don't really know why Manolas' return has been delayed, but I'm guessing it's Koulibaly and Maximovic again at center back. Mario Rui left back, El Cisai and right back.
What about up front there? You think Lozano will be okay enough to at least get a bench appearance, like make an appearance from the substitutions bench? In that case, does Mertens start again over Osimhen, seeing as how Salad made a really good point yesterday? The fact that we can use Osimhen off the bench while Lozano is still injured, it provides a spark to our offense if we need it later in the game. But what do you think? Have you heard anything about Lozano's return? What's going on there?
I think he'll be back. I don't think he'll start. I think you mentioned it yesterday as well, Rafa, that We prefer to ease guys back into the lineup. We definitely don't want to throw Lozano right into the starting lineup. But based on the training reports, again, we'll have to wait until Wednesday to see where they're at. If he completes a full training session with the team, I think it's safe to say he'll be back in the squad. I think he'll be on the bench as an option off the bench to replace Politano. And my one concern, though, is that Politano limped off the field yesterday as well.
Saw that.
So we have to kind of wait and see if that was serious or if they were just icing to be precautious, because that might force a change, whether it's Lozano or maybe Elmas playing on the wing, or even maybe even Mertens, right? Because now you have that, you have Osimhen fit. And I think because it's been working, I think we'll see Mertens start at striker again and still have Osimhen as that option off the bench. Just to add to what Salad was saying yesterday, not only is he that spark, but you take a fresh Osimhen who's already going to outrun most players in the league, and now you pin him against tired legs, and that's just a huge advantage, right? So I'm kind of expecting Gattuso not to change it because it's working. And then we'll just kind of have to wait and see on Politano's health.
Well, I got a comment in here, Rafa, and I was going to say it, but Gaetano Salazzo brings it up. In my opinion, you can't have a $70 million player as a spark off the bench.
I agree. But in our current situation where Lozano is on the bench, then yes, I think it's smart to have that option right now, like situationally. You know, I'm a very situational kind of guy. You know what I mean? I'm always looking at what the situation is right now. Yes, in the long run, meta is the future. You know, in the long run, you want, a better left back. In the long run, you want, a 70 million guy. But we have to understand that sometimes you just need a spark off the bench to help you out. You know what I mean? Look at what happened with, I know we had the lead, but look what happened in the match with Bologna. He came off the bench, boom. Bologna made two substitutions, and right away, Osimhen scored. You know, that's the kind of spark that we didn't have in the beginning of the match. We were up 1-0. Yesterday, we were up again as well, but, you know, no real thanks to Mertens. And, you know, you don't start the match, you know, in that situation, a substitution late would have been Osimhen off for Mertens, you know, if Osimhen had to come off. And Mertens is not as fast anymore. I mean, I don't know if that's his age declining or he's still tender in the ankle.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
But I agree. I agree with, I forgot who said it. Was it Gaetano? I forgot who said it, but I agree with the fact that you can't have a 70 million player as a spark off the bench. But right now with Lozano on the outs, then maybe it is smart. Because you can't take Lozano off for Politano. You can't take Politano off for, you know, there's no one really to take Politano off for. You know, later in the game, they took him off. Yeah, but, you know, what I'm trying to say is that right now, it's a smart thing for if Chucky is not going to start the match against Roma to start Mertens. This way you can have Lozano and Osimhen as an option, right? And then when everyone's fully fit, you know, Insigne, Lozano, Osimhen, Zielinski, who to me is midfielder of the season, I think that's when we get, you know, and look at it this way too. We'll have taken care of Milan. We might have that situation for the match against Juventus, which for me would be great, you know. I really quick though, I do want to say something. I just read on Tutto Napoli that according to La Repubblica, Manolas and Lozano will be available for Napoli against Roma. It says emergenza finita, Gattuso potrà contare su altri due big a Roma. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know if they'll get the start, but they'll be available, hopefully.
Joe, would you like to add? Because I kind of have a hard disagree with Rafa, my co-host here. I want to kind of throw that. I don't know if you'd like to add anything. So
no, you go ahead. I want to hear this.
Cool. I'm going to be with Gaetano today, Rafa, because he says here we need him to be that guy from the start, Rafa. Today I'm with Gaetano, okay? Today I'm a Gaetano fan.
Go ahead.
And I'll tell you why. Because that's what he was supposed to be, you know? Right. And I think Mertens can do equally as good a job coming off the bench. He has experience, and he can burn. And let's say, for example, it's 20 or 30 minutes. He could go hard for those 20, 30 minutes. It's not like he has to go at maybe a medium pace for 60, and then we're going to get Ozingham to get these tired legs. Ozingham has been rested. I mean, granted, obviously it's been because of injuries and things like that. But we saw when he came back. I'm sorry, which game? It was the game before, guys. Help me out. Was it Bologna?
The game Mertens scored.
Because Mertens started with Sassuolo, right? And then we put in Ozingham, if I'm correct. And Ozingham starts the next game, and we saw a wonderful.
No, he didn't start that game. He didn't.
No. The next game. Then he started the Bologna game. Ozingham came.
No, he came off the bench. Ozingham came off the bench
against Bologna.
Yes, sir. He came off the bench. He came in the 60th minute, I believe. Scored in the 65th.
Either way, let him play. I'll take back that play. Just forget I said that one, all right?
No. That's okay. No, Ralph, you still have a valid point. No, but I agree. I think he's at 100% if that's where you were going.
Sorry,
I think
guys.
Now he's at 100%. No, that's okay. But I do think he's at 100%. I just think for the situation at hand that maybe you don't make a wrong decision whether you go either way. But I think that Ozingham is like much faster and stronger and more steadfast towards goal, and off the bench while Lozano's out maybe is what we need. You know what I mean? Is that 60th minute like, you know, pulse? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And where Mertens is a little bit of a question mark right this second. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Against Roma, against a game that I don't know, man. The reason why I'm going Ozingham is because I think more than anything, maybe if Mertens was fully fit and healthy, I probably would be with you a little bit more, Rafa, on that one. But even the game against Milan, he took a small knock. He needed a few minutes to kind of get back into the game. I don't want a 50% Mertens on the field for 60 minutes. I'd rather Ozingham. We still need to see what this kid can do, you know? And I'd prefer to see him. And then maybe if we're down or we need to hold a game, maybe we can put in Mertens because he does have that experience. He does have some of that creativity, that connection with Insigne that we can probably use. Maybe you're right. Maybe either way, I think we're all right. We kind of saw a little bit of that yesterday. But like Rosati said, Mertens didn't look himself, and he hasn't been looking himself a whole lot. And I know a lot of it has to do with his injury, whether it be fitness and things like that. It's just hard. I know he's suffering, and I just want to see a little bit more from Victor. It's like it's due. I've been waiting all season. You know, we've been patiently waiting through the injuries, through COVID, through a half a concussion. And I think it's Victor's time to shine. I want the kid to build some confidence. And if we need Mertens to come on off the bench, so be it. And I definitely don't want Lozano to start. I'm sorry. Like, I want him to make sure he's
fully
healed.
Yet, no. What he about can't, you, Joe? What are you thinking?
Fully healed.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be upset if Osimhen started. I mean, I guess on the flip side, I get the financial argument. Obviously, he was the most expensive player we've ever purchased. But to be perfectly honest, we're not getting our money's worth on him this season. That ship sailed.
No,
the shoulder injury and the COVID and all that stuff. So to Rafa's point, you got to do what's going to give you the best chance of winning this match. And maybe that's Mertens, maybe that's Osimhen. I agree. Mertens has struggled the last two games. He didn't look as good as that the previous match. And you know, if you can. Starting Osimhen doesn't mean you got to take Osimhen out to bring Mertens on. That's another situational decision. If we're losing, you probably bring them both on, right? Throw everything. Throw Lozano on, throw Mertens on, whatever. Exactly.
Write a letter.
It's more of a tactical decision if you have the lead. And, you know, we saw what Gattuso did yesterday with the kind of switch to a 4-4-2 and sat back, which is another thing that makes you nervous. You wish Gattuso would go for the throw a little bit more, but you know, it's a good problem to have, I guess you can say, right? I mean, it's been so long since we've had even one natural striker available. Now we have two. So, yeah, I mean, I'm okay with Osimhen starting too. I just think I know Gattuso kind of likes to follow these same, if it's working, keep going with it, right?
If it's working. Five matches unbeaten so far while Mertens is back. You know what I mean? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's like a mantra I use in my shop, right? A rival barber saw one of my pictures, and my apprentice is cutting, and he used to work with us, and he's moved on to his own shop. And he goes, you still got that plastic chair? Like, you know, because there's this other chair that I have that's a nice, you know, metal chair. It's all metal. It's firm. And he goes, and my apprentice is in this older plastic chair. You still got that plastic chair? I'm like, well, it's not broken. It's making me money. It's sitting there making me money. I don't need to buy a flashy new one.
Right.
Because it's not plastic. If it's working, it's working. It's making me money. I got to buy a new freaking metal chair, $3,000, and that's going to take me 3 years to recoup on that? No.
Right.
It's not. So you know, Mertens is getting these starts, and, you know, he's doing this and that. He's not doing great. Right. He's getting a little bit. But, I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If we got to beat Roma, we have to beat Roma. Beating Roma puts the nail in their coffin, and we have to do it. So whichever way it happens, I don't care, as long as it works. So if it means Osimhen sits on the bench for the first half, I'm okay with that. This match.
With it. Well, there you have it. Guys, maybe we'll answer 2-3 questions, and then we'll cut out. Is that all right, guys? We have enough time?
Let's do it.
All right.
We'll have Joe
answer. Gattana. So this one, because I'm curious too, is Petagna still alive?
And morto Andrea Petagna.
Seriously, what happened to Petagna? I mean,
all of the training reports have been that he's been doing personalized work in the gym and in the field. So,
okay,
I know he had that calf injury and he tried to play through it. Who knows? Maybe he did more damage than good by playing through it, which kudos to him because we didn't have anyone else at the time. And he stepped up. He scored some key goals. He's got a couple of game winners. But I think that's what it is. Now with Mertens and Osimhen back, there's no need to rush him anyways.
Elio Laconte writes, we did kind of answer this. Will Manolas and Lozano be available for Roma? I know Rafa just said, right?
According to La Repubblica, he will be. Remains to be seen. You know the newspapers, Elio.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Elio, you'll know before we do, probably.
That's true.
Elio's out in Europe right now, so thank you for being here. It's late out there, too. It's about midnight. That's awesome. From Rosati, Gattuso beats Juve and Milan, and we still want him gone. I think we touched on this a little bit too, guys.
We don't want him gone, but I would understand a brand new system, an overhaul, Joe, right? I mean, he deserves to stay, but
my concern is what if he loses a couple of the first couple matches next season? You know, the pitchforks come back out, and again, it's all of this drama. Absolutely. We just don't need it.
Absolutely.
It's been tough. I guess that's it, guys. I'm looking. Sorry I'm late, dude. Guys, it's okay. But maybe we'll plug you, Joe. We'll probably cut out. We'll reach the hour mark, guys. We definitely had a great show. Let me see right here, sir, for you. This is your Twitter handle, Joe. You want to call it out to the
Fortsinopoly Pod? That's right, at Fortsinopoly Pod, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can find me on Twitter mostly at Joe_Fischetti5. And the podcast is on all of your usual platforms.
Joe, go ahead, Rafa.
No, I'm sorry. Joe, the podcast that you do with the Napoli Worldwide, it just, I love it, man. I love it so much. Just to hear, like, sometimes I listen to the stories. I was telling this to Ralphie last week. Sometimes I listen to the stories and then I just shut it off because I don't want to hear any more of the analysis. I want to hear all these fans out there and how they became a fan, whether it's the old, oh, my dad's born in Naples, and so I'm a Napoli fan. Or it's, you know, I found them because I was watching this match from 1987 and I couldn't believe it. And, you know, whatever the case may be, you know what I mean? I just love the stories, dude. And I think you hit the nail on the head with it. And I love to hear them. I love what you do. I mean, with the Primavera and the Femminile and the
seriously,
and the, it's so great,
dude.
It's so great.
It's awesome.
If I want, I told Ralph, I said, you know, here is the good spot for like the humor, or like, you know, to kind of take a load off. It's, you yeah. know, just kind of, you know, shoot the shit a little bit, shoot right?
Shit.
If you want the facts and you need to know what the hell is going on, Joe Fischetti is your man, dude. And it's lovely. It's lovely.
Oh, I appreciate that, Rafa. That means a lot coming from you guys, let me tell you. And I agree. My favorite segment on the Worldwide Series is definitely hearing the stories. I mean, and especially because these are people that we correspond with every day on social media, right? And just you know, I love when you talked about Prince Salad being on yesterday, and he always talks about how now he can add an accent to a Twitter account, right? You know, we had Ben from Australia, and we had Antonio from the UK, and it just seems to create a bit more of a personal connection with people that we talk to every day anyway. So it's been a blast. I'm going to keep doing it when I have the time. I try to do about one a week, and you know, stay tuned for that. We're going to get lots more people on. Hopefully, I bring you guys on as well.
Oh, I'd love it.
Awesome, guys. Awesome. Thank you to everybody in the chat. First and foremost, you know, let's get a couple likes on there if you like the show. Maybe a share, subscribe to our channel. We just started some couple announcements. We just started a new Twitter page, the Twitter profile for the Raf and Raf Rant. We were sharing under the Far From Vesuvius, but we started our own. So if you see that, subscribe to that as well. Share these videos. Help us get out there. Really, it really does help. And you know, we're trying to do a big thing for Napoli and the fans here. So that's certainly much appreciated. We can get a big Forza Napoli in the chat, guys. Let's blow up the chat. I'll put you up on here real quick. You know how we roll at the end of these shows. Big thank you to Joe Fischetti for joining us, man. You were awesome today. Be sure to catch him on Twitter as well. Rafa, a pleasure as always with you. Great show, sir. Thank you. And to
don't forget everybody tomorrow, 8:30 p.m. live.
That's right.
Serie A sit down right here on YouTube at Serie A sit down on Twitter. Just make sure you check it out. I'll be their guest. Also, check out Joe's latest podcast was before the Milan game with Richard Carmen, one of the hosts of that show. And I was listening to it on the way home. It was great. Loved it. Love Richard. Love Frank. So check it out tomorrow, 8:30 live.
All right, guys. That's all the time. Let me see if I got one more in here. We got Christopher Estrada FNS. Oh, by the way, he said happy birthday. You know what? Let me do this. This was a really nice thing. Just wanted to say, Respo, happy belated birthday to your son. I really hope you can put your son.
Man, thank you. Nah, dude, I appreciate it. Yes.
Happy birthday to Paulie, man. Big happy birthday to Paulie.
The son's rant is in limbo. It was a failed experiment. For the first go around, we're gonna get it out eventually. We're gonna redo it or what have you, but it's coming. Don't worry about it. I appreciate it.
You know what else is coming, Rafa? What? Your birthday is coming up in a couple days, isn't it? Huh? And yeah. I don't know if we're not gonna be on, so let me officially
you'll be on
the other one, but let's officially wish you a happy birthday to you, sir. Oh,
thank you. Thank
happy
you.
Birthday.
Happy birthday.
I'm just happy that thank you. I'm just happy that the Juve Napoli outcome isn't going to affect my mood on my birthday. You know, that would have been terrible. I was kind of dreading it, actually. But yes, thank you guys. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, guys. That's all the time we have. Have a great night. We'll see you again soon. Joe again, thank you again. Rafa, great show. We'll see you again. Bye bye. Forza Napoli.
Sempre.